This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at chrisducker.com/Rainmaker.
This is Youpreneur FM, the official podcast of the Youpreneur Mastermind Community. A place where no entrepreneur gets left behind in their pursuit of building a business they can be proud of.
And now,
here's your host, serial entrepreneur and best-selling author,
Chris Ducker.
So, Andrea, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Chris. It's going to be a fun show today.
It will be. I can't wait. Now, when we first made contact with each other, and then I gave your details on to my team to look into you as a prospective guest for the show, they came back to me, and this doesn't usually happen. I want to let me boost your ego just a little bit here. This doesn't usually happen. Usually there's positives and then there's negatives. And they say, well, you know, they would be a good guest because of this, this, and this, but maybe we've already done this and this. So you might want to think about it, boss, that kind of thing. Whereas this time around, it was, oh, you got to get her on the show. Like, she's got a great story. She's doing brilliantly. She's a mum. She's a wife. She's an entrepreneur. I mean, you got to get her on the show. This is going to resonate perfectly. So there you go. Consider your ego well and truly boost. Right there.
Oh, thank you.
So, okay, let's talk about where we are now very quickly with your business. And then I want to kind of reverse engineer everything and go back to how it all got started. So currently right now, from what I understand, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, you are working full time with the online business. Your husband is now no longer working in his normal job. He's now sort of helping you, and you've got three beautiful kids with each other, which you're obviously spending lots of time with. You're currently earning a minimum of five figures on a monthly basis, and there's lots more that's going on as well. What else are we doing from a business perspective right now? And then we're going to, like I say, go back and see how you got there.
Yeah, so it's an interesting story because what I'm doing today is definitely not what I thought I would be doing even a year or two ago. And basically, you're right. What I'm doing now is this is my full-time business, although I don't technically, if you were to look at full-time as 40 hours a week, I hardly ever work 40 hours a week. It's closer to 25, anywhere between 20 and 30 hours
Lovely.
A week. So it's definitely a lifestyle business. And my husband does stay at home. He is the primary caretaker for our kids. He does teach part-time at a university. He teaches acting and directing, but he has a really light schedule. He'll teach one or two classes a semester. Now, if it's summer or winter break, he obviously is not teaching. So he has time to be with the kids at home and support me in my business. And I have been the primary breadwinner for our household since 2007, when I was pregnant with my first baby and my husband decided that he wanted to go to grad school at the same time. So that's when I started my first business.
Right.
So right now it's definitely working. The setup that we have, it's definitely working for all of us.
It certainly sounds that way, and congratulations on everything, you know, that you've done thus far to get to where you are. I'm curious, and this is where I want to start digging in here. You're now doing something that you didn't anticipate you'd be doing a year or two before. Where were you a couple of years ago? What were you doing?
Yeah, it's interesting. So a couple of years ago, it was right after I started out as an entrepreneur with a t-shirt business, and I ended up selling that t-shirt business in 2011, right before my third baby was born, because I was getting all of these requests from other aspiring t-shirt entrepreneurs. And it's crazy. You wouldn't think there's that many of them out there, but there are a ton of people trying to start t-shirt businesses. I feel like everyone thinks it's super easy. You can get up and running really quickly, which is certainly one of the reasons why I started it. But then as you're starting your business, you realize that there's so much more to it. And I was getting emails from other t-shirt entrepreneurs saying, hey, how did you do it? Can you tell me how you got into so many stores, how you got into magazines, how you got on TV? So I ended up writing an ebook on how to start a t-shirt business. And I thought I can just direct people to that. And I'll say, hey, here's how I did it. Here's my ebook. And that was that. But then so many of those people who are buying my ebook were coming back and saying, I loved your ebook. I would love to work with you one-on-one. Do you ever do consulting? And I thought, well, I've never done it, but I am open to it. If someone's willing to pay me for it, why not, you know, why not try it? So I tried consulting. I took on 5 clients. It was $500 a month. They had a weekly call or a monthly call with me. And I really realized how much I loved teaching and how much I loved sharing, but also all of the breakthroughs that they were having. And then all of the feedback that I was getting from them. And they were saying, I couldn't have done it without you. You saved me so much time and so much money. So that's when I thought, okay, I really can't do 2 businesses and do both of them well. So I sold my t-shirt business and I went into the business of teaching online courses. And I gave up the consulting after about a year or so, because it was just with 3 kids, it was just impossible to schedule phone calls. Right. And I had my kids at home. It was crazy and loud in the background. And I thought, okay, I have to get rid of the consulting. It's just not working for me right now. So I'm going to do online courses. So I spent a couple of years doing online courses and those were doing pretty well. It was definitely a 6-figure business from my first year in business doing that, which was really nice. But then I started getting requests from more entrepreneurs saying, hey, I took your publicity course, which was one of my main focuses at the time. Mm-hmm. And they said, I took your publicity course and I'm wondering if you ever do one-on-one PR, I'm willing to pay you a lot of money to do that. So I thought, once again, I never really thought about doing someone's PR and sort of launching this PR agency, but people are asking for it. Let me put it out to my list and see what happens. And at this time, I think I had around maybe 5,000 or 6,000 people on my email list. Okay. So I sent out an email. This was about 2 years ago. I sent out an email and I said, hey, a lot of you are requesting one-on-one PR. Here's what I'm going to do. If there's enough interest, I would love to take on 5 clients and do your PR for you for $1,000 a month. We'll try it out for 3 months, see what happens, and we'll go from there. So I put out an application form because I was really specific about the kind of entrepreneurs and the products that I wanted to represent and the ones that I thought I could get the most results for. So I put out this application from one email and I got 43 applications. Wow. And I thought, wow, this is crazy. And so I thought,
so then you said, now I'm going to charge $5,000 a month, not $1,000.
Exactly. So I was like, oh, maybe I undercharged, know? But then I was like, I just had no idea that was going to be the response. So I ended up going through all of the applications. I picked 10 people and I said, I know I only said 5, but your brand was just, I would be so excited to work with you. Here's how you can pay me and we'll get started right away. So 8 people ended up paying me the $1,000 a month and I started doing PR for them. And I did that for 3 months. But during that time, what happened is I realized that I really couldn't focus on my business at all because all I was doing was sending out emails and pitching all of my clients and going back and forth with them and coordinating product samples and high resolution photo requests and all of those different things that go into PR. And then I thought, well, is there a way that I can kind of scale this? Is there a way where I can provide this maybe as a membership site instead of doing it one-on-one for people? Because I was working with 5 of them happened to be jewelry designers and I was pitching them for the same exact story. So I thought there has to be a way where I can sort of help, 100 jewelry designers, but have them do it themselves, because what's taking me a lot of my time is this me constantly emailing editors back and forth. And I thought, what if I can just give them access to the editors that I have access to and put that in a membership site and see what happens? So I ended my contract. I did the 3 months. I got my clients a ton of great results. And then I sent out another email to my list and I said, so here's what happened. If you remember a couple of months ago, I emailed you, 8 of you signed on to do PR with me. And I'm realizing that I can really help a lot more of you, but you're going to have to do the email pitching yourself. And I'm going to set this up as a membership site where you have access to all of these magazine editors, but you're going to have to do the pitching yourself. And I priced it at $97 a month. And with that first email, I barely had a website. That first email that I sent, I got 87 people to sign up.
So, I mean, obviously, let me interject here. So, obviously, you know, what I like about this is that you've been able to grow your business based upon email after email after email, by the sounds of it here. And truly, honestly, by listening to your audience. And this is why, or rather, this is what I'm always trying to advocate, is just listen to your audience. They will tell you what they need help with. They will tell you what their struggles are, where their pain points are. And then it's our job as an entrepreneur to find the solution to those problems and provide it in a way that, you know, would not only help them, but also where we can make money in the same mindset, right? And what I love about what you've done thus far in this story, and I'm sure it's not over, so I want to continue in a minute, but what I love about this story so far is that you've done exactly that. You've listened to your audience, but more importantly, you've acted on what they have come to you with in terms of their pain points, and then you've not only provided the solution to those problems, but you've actually pivoted and grown in a number of different ways along the line with your audience at the same time as them. It's like you're almost taking them on a journey with you, or maybe they're taking you on a journey with them. Either way, it's working so far, that's for sure. What do you think about that?
I totally agree with you. And I think it works both ways. They're sort of helping me figure out what they need. And at the same time, I'm helping them move their business forward, specifically in this aspect with getting publicity and getting their products featured in magazines. But it's true. It's a two-way thing. And I feel like I've always been an action taker, and I've taken risks where I launched something not really knowing whether or not someone is going to buy it. And I've been lucky enough that people have actually responded and bought it. But the things that have had the most success for me is when I reach out to my audience and I'll do a trial and I'll say, you're asking for this, I'm willing to offer this, go ahead, here's my sign up form and let's see what happens. And we'll all work together going forward. And that seems to have been working really well for me so far.
Well, I mean, obviously it does, certainly. And, you know, I want to also go back to the point where we were talking about coaching and things just took off so well with you. It just wasn't possible to continue to take on more clients because of everything else that you're doing in your life. But also, you know, coaching is probably the lowest hanging fruit when it comes to monetizing your online platform, because you're an expert, or you're talking about something that nobody knows anything about. Therefore, that instantly makes you an expert. And a lot of people will be happy to pay you for some time, pay you for some access to get your insights. It is low hanging fruit. The only problem with coaching is that it's not truly scalable, because there's only so many hours in the day. Do you think that was probably one of the other reasons why you had to walk away from that side of the business? Because you just couldn't take any more clients on, as well as all the other distractions of life?
Absolutely, yes. And that was actually one of the main reasons, other than the fact that my kids were not quiet and I couldn't get them to, you know, to be quiet so I can do a phone call. Yeah. But I also think the other part of it is that I remember, as much as I loved doing those one-on-one calls, I remember feeling really drained and exhausted. And I felt like I know you speak a lot, and I don't know if you feel this way, but when I speak, I love the experience, but after I'm done, I am completely wiped out. I feel like, I really can't do anything else for the rest of the day, at least not in that capacity. And it was the same with coaching, where I just felt so drained after every call that I really could only do one a day, right? And I couldn't really do any more. And I couldn't focus on anything else, because I would spend the morning preparing for the call to make sure that I was going to give them the information they needed. Right. Then I would do the call, and then I would be exhausted from it. So I thought, I can't keep going like this, at least not with three little kids and having to support them and being the main breadwinner of our family. So all of those reasons is mainly why I decided to no longer do coaching.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing also is, I mean, one thing I say, the easiest way to make more money coaching is to just charge more, not necessarily take on board more clients. So for you, you were charging $500 an hour, but as you've clearly stated, it was more than just the hour on the call that you were doing, you were actually doing probably a couple of hours at least prep work before that. And at that point, you start diluting what your time is actually worth. Your time is not worth $500 an hour. It's worth a third of that because it's actually a three-hour job that you're doing rather than just an hour on the phone. You know, so I often say to people that if coaching is something that you do want to do and you want to make more money doing it, because of the unscalability of it over the short term anyway, you got to charge more. So just double whatever you're charging, maybe triple what you're charging. You'll get less clients, but you will make maybe the same amount of money, and you'll be able to spend the rest of the time building out info products like ebooks and courses and things like that. And I mean, you've now started to do all of that and a bag of chips. You've got the podcast, you've got the blog over at launchgrowjoy.com. You've got a lot of different things that you're doing. Tell us a little about the speaking side of it as well, because I know a lot of people that are tuning into the show, you know, they're on this growth path of building the business of you, as I often call it, and, you know, really focusing in on providing value based on their stories, their expertise, their relationship building strategies, and that sort of type of thing. How did the speaking come about?
Great question. So the speaking came about when I saw last year and the year before, my business was pretty much the same in terms of the revenues that I was bringing in. And it was multiple six figures, but my list was the same because in between the number of people that were subscribing and the ones that were unsubscribing or bouncing, at the end of the year, my figures looked exactly the same. And I thought, wow, something has to change. If I want to grow my business, something has to change. And I looked at some of the things that I could be doing that I wasn't doing, and speaking was high on that list. And I'm naturally a more introverted person. I used to be shy. I don't really call myself that anymore, although I definitely could identify with that. Plus, I had three young kids that were home, and I felt like when I first started my business, I started it so I can be home, not so I can travel and speak. But as I saw my business sort of being stagnant and not really growing, I thought, well, I haven't really done much speaking, and maybe that's something I should try out. I'll see what happens, and, you know, I'll see how it goes and see if I like it. So I spent a lot of time last year pitching myself to any conference that I thought would be relevant to what I can talk about. And I ended up booking a few speaking engagements. So I actually got to do a keynote speech for the Handcrafted Soaps and Cosmetics Guild Conference, which was exactly my target market because I like to get myself in front of entrepreneurs that have consumer products. Sure. And these are all soap makers. So I did that speech. Then I also taught at Creative Live, which was a really great experience. It allowed me to practice speaking even more. And I pitched myself for other conferences. So I'm speaking at Podcast Movement and a couple of other places here locally too. Mm-hmm. So I found that ever since I started doing that, not only have I gotten to connect with my audience a lot more and I'm in front of them, I could meet them, which is really awesome, but I've also grown as an entrepreneur. I've put myself out there and went beyond my comfort zone. If you were to ask me 4 years ago if I can ever deliver a keynote speech in front of, you know, 450 people, I would say, there is no way I could ever do that. And I just didn't believe in myself that I could do it. And the more I would put myself out there with those speaking engagements, the more not only did I realize that I'm enjoying it, but I realized that it really helps to grow my business too. Sure. And last month, I actually had one of the best months without actually launching anything that I've had in a long time. So it's definitely has paid off in so many ways.
You know, I want to comment on something that you just said just then, and that is that you had one of your best months last month without having to launch anything. That is a key sentence that you've just dropped right there, and I don't think you understand how key it is. We in the online business world get way too wrapped up in the launch of stuff, whatever that may be. I think we need to stop focusing so much on launching and start focusing more on actually delivering true value. And like you are saying right now, when you started speaking more regularly, you were ending up getting more business as a direct result of being in front of people actually live at events. There's something to be said for that. The podcast is another perfectly good angle for that as well. There is no act that is more personal than physically inserting somebody into your ears in a way of consuming content. And there's just something about podcasting for me that it's revolutionized the way I grow my business. Hell, I mean, I wish I started doing it 10 years ago. I'd be in a whole different ball. I mean, don't get me wrong, I do just fine. But I mean, I could be doing a lot more than I'm doing right now if I'd have started podcasting 10 years ago instead of 5 years ago. But I think that sentence right there, you know, the best month you've had in for a while without actually launching something, there's a lot of power in that, a lot of power.
There is. I totally agree with you there. And once I realized that too, I thought, wow, I'm really glad. Not only do I enjoy speaking now, but I'm really glad I decided to try it out.
Right.
And it definitely paid off.
You know, a lot of people, when they get started, that's kind of on the list. And I think, you know, for people tuning into this show, it's on the list. You know, a book, a blog, a podcast, speaking, coaching, info product, recurring membership site. That's what our peeps are all about here on the show. And so, you know, it's one of the things I think that a lot of people want to do, but A, being any good at it is one thing, but and then B, actually getting a shot doing it is a whole different ballgame, because you can think you can do it, but unless other people do, you're not even going to get a chance to get on somebody's stage anyway. I'm curious now, you said you chased down speaking opportunities pretty abundantly. What were you doing? Were you just sort of submitting proposals left, right, and center? Or was there any kind of strategy that you had in place to get that sort of first handful of speaking gigs?
Yeah, so I definitely had a strategy because I have three kids and my time is so limited and I didn't want to travel all the time. Mm-hmm. I sort of had to have a strategy and not just speak anywhere.
Right.
And I decided that I was going to focus on two things. I was going to focus on speaking opportunities that got me exactly in front of my target audience. And the SOAP conference was exactly that. And then I also was going to do speaking engagement that got me in the same room with some of my peers. And I think for me, that was another important thing, because I not only wanted to meet my customers and my readers and my listeners, but I also wanted to connect and engage with some of the people that were my peers that I have been collaborating online with for years that I had never met in person. So that's one of the reasons I'm speaking at Podcast Movement, and that's why I've pitched myself for some of those conferences too. Mm-hmm. So my strategy was for both of those. And I also didn't want to do more than one speaking engagement per month, because I knew that I would burn out pretty quickly. So the conferences that I pitched myself for, I made sure that there was enough space between them so that I can recover and actually have time to prepare for the next one.
That's great. Okay, I love that. So, I mean, you went into things with a pretty solid strategy in place. I mean, really, you don't really have much choice being a mom and a wife and, the breadwinner. I get it completely. But I always ask these kind of questions because I know that people are interested in how people chase down those kind of opportunities. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Let's talk podcasts for a little while then. When did you start your show? I mean, you're in the sort of mid-40s from what I can understand right now. And I can see that you're using my good buddy Pat Flynn's podcast player, which you'll be very happy to know. I'll let him know. And for you guys, actually, I let me just give Pat a real quick little boost on this, because, yes, we're friends. But this right here, if you're running any kind of website that you want to have a very sweet looking podcast player on it for your podcast, you got to check out the Smart Podcast Player, smartpodcastplayer.com. It's beautiful and it's completely customizable. And Andrea is using it. I'm looking at it right now in front of me. You're in the mid 40s as we record this, probably a little higher by that, by the time this goes. But why did you even start a podcast? Because it's work. It ain't easy. There's some work, yes, involved in it, right? And you're a busy lady already. Where did this idea to start the show actually come from?
Yeah, so I have to say, I love the smart podcast player. I actually just installed it 2 days ago.
Oh,
and
cool. Okay.
I actually bought it when you sent out an email to your list promoting the podcast player. And I bought it months ago and I just never got around to installing it. And I can't believe I waited this long to install it, but I absolutely love it. It's so easy. And I even emailed Pat's team and I said, I'm so in love with this player. I can't believe I waited so long to actually install it.
Isn't it funny how people do that, right? They buy stuff online, and I've been guilty of it as well in the past, but they buy things online, whether it be a piece of software or a course or something like that, and then they don't do anything with it for ages and ages. I wonder why that is.
Exactly,
We're humans. We have issues. We've got issues to deal with,
exactly. You
know. Oh, dear me. So, okay. Well, I mean, just so you know, I can't believe you only just installed it a couple of days. And this for you guys tuning in. We are giving Pat a massive plug here. But for you guys tuning in, this just goes to show you how customizable it is. It looks like it totally belongs on your website. And it looks like it's been there for months and months and months, not 2 days. So, there you go. All right. So, tell us about the podcast. Why even start one in the first place?
So I started one, I have to admit here, it was for completely selfish reasons. And I started it because I felt like if I wanted to get myself out there speaking more, I had to get better at speaking. So starting a podcast, it's not necessarily like being on stage, but I felt like it would give me the platform that I would need to practice asking questions, to practice connecting with my guests, and to practice speaking basically in front of other people. And it was something that I could do in my own home, in my own time. And you're so right. It is so much more work than I initially thought it was going to be. The other reason I started it was because I really wanted to connect with some of my guests on a deeper level than you could via email, or maybe when you're doing a JV partnership or something like that. And I really had the intention of obviously, yes, wanting to provide massive value to my audience, but also really establishing and strengthening those relationships that I had with some of my peers once again, but also with my audience, because I knew when I started my podcast, I didn't only want to have experts on it. I wanted to have actual entrepreneurs that are doing it, that are struggling, that, you know, that they've had breakthroughs and they have questions that I can help them with. So I started it for those reasons too. And I've been doing it for about a year and I totally fell in love with it. Sort of like speaking, I never knew how much I would enjoy it. And I also feel like I've grown a lot as both an entrepreneur and personally, and as a speaker since starting my podcast. Because if you listen to my first episode, and sometimes I go back to it, and I'm sure everyone can relate to this.
Oh, God, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm like, oh my goodness, I cannot believe I put that out there. You know,
but you
got
to start. But you know, this is what Seth Godin says. You know, in regards to just shipping it, you've got to ship it. Eventually, you have to get it out there. You can't procrastinate and try and say, I can make it better, I can make it better, I can make it better. And I mean, I would probably feel exactly the same way if I was this, you know, sit down and listen to some of my first podcasts. I'd probably cringe horribly listening to my, hello, everybody, welcome. You know, I mean, like, it would be awful to listen back. You know, but with that being said, you know, you've got to start somewhere, right? You've got to start somewhere. And I often say with video, particularly, some people are really uncomfortable in front of video. I say, well, look, record like 10 clips, 10 different tips, 10 different topics, whatever it is, record 10 and then dump them all. And then start again. You know, get rid of all the crap first and then start again kind of thing. So, yeah, podcasting is it's a tough one to begin, but I mean it's a game changer. So carry on. What is it? Let's get to this point. What has it done for you and your business?
So great question. It definitely helped me to grow my list for sure. Mm-hmm. And something that I implemented only recently was that for every podcast episode that I do, I also try to see what happens if I have a download with people entering their name and email address to get a download for something that is related to the episode. So I did that for, I think, 4 or 5 episodes, and I got anywhere from around 170 email addresses to almost 250, depending on the topic, from each one of those 5 episodes where I tried doing this. Now, that was a ton of work, and I still feel like I haven't quite gotten my system down for that. I think that's something that I want to focus on a lot more and hire someone to actually put the download together so I don't have to do all of it.
Yeah.
because it really does take time. So it definitely has helped me to grow my list. It also has helped to expand my audience. And I just did a survey about 2 weeks ago. It ended where I asked my audience, so how did you first hear about Launch, Grow, Joy, or me? And so many people said, I heard you from your podcast, or I heard you from being a guest on other people's podcasts. And I thought, wow, so something is really working here, because people are finding my podcast and they're coming, they're subscribing, they're signing up. And that survey only went out to my email list. So I know those people are on my list because that's the only way they could have gotten the survey. So it definitely helped with that. And it's interesting because what I've done too, as I'm trying to build my audience, I eventually am thinking about getting sponsors. I tried for about 3 months to have one of my own programs, which is Get Media Happy, as a sponsor. So I would say, hey, everyone, this is Andrea Ayer. So happy you're here. Today's sponsor is Get Media Happy. And then I would go into a little spiel about what Get Media Happy is. And I would provide a link to where people can sign up. And as soon as I would launch the podcast episode, I would get at least 2 or 3 signups through that link from the podcast. So I know it was working in terms of driving traffic to my membership site as well. So it's definitely been a game changer. I totally agree with you. And it's just been transformative. And I actually ended up taking a break from it over the summer, just because, again, with my 3 kids being home from school and just traveling and vacation and all of that, I tried to do an episode, and I think when I start again, I'm definitely going to batch it, like what you were talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I found that I have not planned well enough to record my podcast episode in advance. Mm-hmm. So that's something that I know I need to work on a little more. But I now have someone who edits my show notes. My assistant uploaded all of my podcasts and hooked it up to Smart Podcast Player. So now I feel like I'm definitely better equipped to have a more streamlined process for my podcast.
You mentioned something there in regards to sort of batching and taking a break. And like any content creator, you were probably stressing. I'm going to go out on a limb and assume this very heavily here, that you were stressing a little bit over stopping the podcast for the summer. Would I be right in saying that?
You are absolutely right. I mean, I even sent an email to my list and apologized to them that they were not going to get any podcast episodes over the summer from me. So absolutely.
Yeah. And, you know, and that's normal, because we want to carry on to serve our audience, particularly when they're getting used to something coming out the same day every week and that sort of type of thing. So I've been there myself. Truly, I have been.
Yeah.
And for you guys listening in, you know, it's important for you to understand that you are the master of your own domain. You are the boss. It all comes down to you at the end of the day. And if you want to take a break from blogging or from podcasting, or if you, more importantly, need to take a break, maybe you're tired, maybe you're a little run down, maybe there's other things you need to focus in on, maybe it's family, maybe it's another business opportunity, whatever it is, it's totally okay to do it. Yes, consistency will trump inconsistency any day of the week, obviously. You want to try and remain as consistent as possible. But if you do need to take a little break, don't beat yourself up. Just take the break. And that is where I have found, actually, batching is incredibly, incredibly useful. So we're recording this, and I'll tell you guys right now exactly how we're doing this. And it will give you an insight, and this will probably help you as well, Andrea, as you continue to build out your speaking profile and everything else that you're doing as well. We're recording this session on July 28th, right now, okay? July 28th, and this will go live at the end of October. Yes, you've heard me right. I am currently 3 months in advance. And the reason why is because September and October are two big speaking months for me. I'm in the UK in September with 4 speaking gigs, and I'm in the US in October with 4 speaking gigs. So it's a very heavy kind of almost 6-week period between those 2 months where I'm not going to have the time, nor quite frankly, the energy with all the travel involved from hopping from one city and one country to another to be able to get on the mic and do these things properly. So we're batching right the way through. Literally, this is the last episode that will go that we batched, although it's not the last episode that I will record in this batch itself right now. So I'll have to record about another 10 or 12 episodes in the next few weeks. But I'd rather do it this way and then not have to worry about it when I'm on the road. And I think a lot of people can appreciate that kind of strategy.
Yeah, that's amazing. I definitely have to do that. And I know for me, it really works too, because as you know, it takes a while to get set up and do your research, and you might as well just record stuff back to back because you already have everything set up and ready to go.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Okay, well, look, let's shift gears a little bit as we go into the last few minutes here. I want to know, what is now the future? Because you've had all this success, I mean, with a t-shirt company, and you started that on Etsy, am I right?
I did, yes. I put on my own website and I wasn't getting any sales the first few days, and I sort of started freaking out.
Screw this, right?
It's like, I'm going to Etsy. So I actually got my first few sales through Etsy, yeah.
That's cool. Okay, so you do that, then, you know, t-shirts galore, you sell that company, you start doing everything that you're doing online, you're consulting, you've got the membership site, you're doing the product launches, you're doing all this stuff. Now you're blogging, you're podcasting, you're speaking. What is next for Launch Grow Joy? And Andrea, where do you see, say, your next 12 months?
So I definitely see my next 12 months on building out a proprietary platform for my Get Media Happy membership site, because right now, actually, just today, we reached 299 members, which is way beyond any. Thank you. Yeah, it's way beyond. I was actually going to cap it at 100 when I first started, and it's built in WordPress. It's super manual. Everything my assistant has to put in manually, and it's just, we've totally outgrown it. But I know that there is such a need for it because it's grown so quickly. We added 100 members just since June alone, and I know it's only going to grow. So, yeah. So, I mean, it's pretty amazing. And what I'm going to be focusing on, I actually just talked to a couple of developers today, but I am going to be building out my own platform where I can connect magazine editors with these awesome brands that I work with and entrepreneurs. And I'm sort of going to let them take charge of the conversation instead of having me involved and doing, me and my assistant doing everything manually.
Love that.
So I know, yeah, it's pretty exciting, although it's scary at the same time, because as I'm talking to developers, I don't really even know what terms to use, you know, and they're like, well, what skills do you need? And I'm saying, I don't know what skills I need you to have, but this is what I needed to look like, and this is what I needed to do. So it's definitely an interesting experience. I feel like this is sort of the next chapter where I am collaborating with someone and investing a ton of money on something that is bigger than what I could do on my own. And it's definitely very exciting, but really scary at the same time, because it is going to probably be a huge investment.
Well, you know, people say that, you know, the real great things that we do are outside of our comfort zone, right? The real strides that we make in life, not just from a business perspective, but personally as well, always outside of our comfort zone. It sounds like you're going a little outside, but it also sounds like you've got a good handle on it. And I wish you all the best with it. I think you're going to do great. I can't believe how quickly you've built things. I think that you've done an incredible job thus far, particularly juggling a family as well. How old are your kids?
They are 4, 6, and 8.
Wow. So, and are we talking all boys here just to add to the pain, or is there a girl thrown into the mix somewhere as well?
The youngest one is a girl. Okay. So it's been interesting.
Yeah, well, as a parent of three as well, I can completely understand where you come from. Although my oldest two are very much almost grown up now. But nonetheless, I wish you all the best. I think you're amazing, Andrea. I think what you've done thus far is just brilliant. And I can't wait to see what you get up to in the next 12 to 18 months. Congrats.
Oh, thank you so much, Chris.
All right. So for you guys tuning in, if you want to find out a little bit more about Andrea and what she's all about, and you know, maybe there's a good fit there, maybe you should be checking her out and see whether she can help you. Show notes for everything that she's doing will be on the blog over at chrisducker.com/episode132. That's episode 132, and you can hop over there, click away, and find out a little bit more about it. I will be back at you again next week. Until then, take good care, be kind to each other, do something amazing, and I'll see you soon.
If the idea of an entrepreneurial community where you get to learn from the best in the business,
as well as rub shoulders,
gain support,
have access to immediate feedback,
as well as nonstop accountability from your peers, is something that excites you, then visit youpreneur.com for more information
and to get started on building a business you can truly be proud of today.
That's youpreneur.com. We'll see you
on the inside.